Chico Smoke Shop, where you'll save up to 40% on all products with no city or state sales tax. Over 100 brands to choose inside the store or through the drive-thru. Open 7 days a week, where you'll save up to 40% every day at Chico Smoke Shop.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. And we are here in the office on a Saturday morning / afternoon because the Arizona Wildcats just fell to the Houston Cougars 45-18. And they start off the Kevin Sumlin era 0-2. First time Arizona starts off a season 0-2 since 1981. I'm Justin Spears here with sports editor of the Arizona Daily Star, Ryan Finley. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to it via Apple Podcasts or the Wildcaster app. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. So, Ryan, with that, happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Don't forget Google Play, by the way.
Google Play
is a thing for Android people.
Absolutely.
It's not a very happy Saturday, is it? Arizona goes out and really... starts off very, very slowly, a little late rally.
Yeah.
The big lesson in football, Justin, and you're a young guy, but you've played some football in your life. Today's lesson is this. Numbers lie.
Numbers do lie.
Can I tell you?
Sure. Let's do it.
Khalil Tate today completes 24 of 45 passes, 341 yards. Had I said to you, just showing you those numbers, how do you think Arizona would have done today?
I would have thought U of A would have won 45-18.
Right. But here's some numbers that tell the truth. No touchdowns, two interceptions, and the big number here is rushing yards. Khalil Tate, I mean, rolls his ankle early in the game, and I'm sure we'll get to that here a little bit later.
Yeah.
Finishes with 8 yards on 7 carries. That is a whopping 1.1 yards per carry. And really, the game was never close. Houston comes out and scored on their first three possessions to make it 21-0. Arizona goes into the half struggling, comes back out. I actually thought Tate played a lot better in the second half than they did in the first. Made it a little bit of a game towards the end, but, I mean, if you're a Houston fan, at no point today are you worried. There were 2,000 people in the stands in the fourth quarter because the game was over at halftime.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder now. Arizona's played two games. Khalil Tate has played not poorly, but mediocrely. That's not a word. But he's been mediocre twice.
Yeah.
He's been mediocre twice. This team is 0-2. Forget a Heisman campaign. Will this team finish with a winning record? If they can't beat BYU at home or Houston on the road, who in the Pac-12 can they beat?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And that's my concern because BYU was fresh off a 4-9 season, and then they come in and beat Arizona. It's like, okay, well, maybe BYU has kind of figured it out. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, Arizona's going to play their first road game. We'll finally get to see how really good this Arizona team is. Mm-hmm. And people kept saying, well, yeah, sure, Houston looked good last week against Rice because it's Rice. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, like, you have to give Houston a little bit more credit than they are getting right now. And one thing that I took from you that stuck with me throughout the entire game watching it was Houston's athletes just looked better. They looked bigger, lengthier.
Take the helmet logos off, as they say, and show me, you know, the team in red and the team in blue today, and tell me who the major conference team is, right?
Tell me who
the team in the AAC, whatever that is. Houston, they're long and they're athletic. Their quarterback, Derek King, was very good.
Yeah.
Their wide receivers are big and strong and athletic. This is a team, if they're not the best team in their league, it must be one hell of a league, because athletically, I mean, they would match up well, not only with Arizona, but with a lot of Pac-12 teams.
Yeah.
To me, the lesson there is the importance of recruiting Texas.
Houston,
and I'm just spitballing here, but Houston, you know, doesn't get the best players in Texas. Texas gets the best players in Texas, right? Oklahoma gets the best players in Texas. Alabama gets the best players in Texas. Houston's probably picking like fifth in their own state.
Yeah. Right?
They're not getting the same players that Texas wants, that Texas A&M wants, that TCU wants. I mean, they're probably, maybe they're fourth. Maybe they're the fourth most prestigious football program in the state of Texas. And even with those sort of you know, fourth string or fourth pick guys, they're more athletic and certainly they proved today that they're much better than the guys Arizona has.
And they also have Louisiana right there too, because they're East Texas. So, I mean, they can dabble with guys from like Shreveport and the bottom feeders of New Orleans, even though LSU is going to get all those guys.
Oh, and somebody told me back in the day, I mean, maybe the most underrated state in the country for football recruiting is Louisiana.
Wow.
Louisiana has athletes. Yeah. They don't have that passion for high school football like you see in Texas. Mm. But, I mean, it's the same kind of kids just across the border in Louisiana. You know, Justin, looking at this, and we can break this game down 100 different ways, but a couple of the things that jump out at me is not only Khalil Tate's lack of rushing yards, but really how Arizona has not established kind of a bell cow guy as a runner. I know that you have some stats in front of you there, but
yeah.
I mean, what J.J. Taylor finish with today?
18 attempts for 54 yards.
Okay, that's what my journalism math says. That's what, 5 yards a carry? 6 yards a carry?
Three
yards a carry. See,
roughly.
Journalism school math. you know, Arizona's leading receiver, obviously, today was Sean Poindexter. He had a great day. Lost in all this is the fact that he had, like, that's as good a day as you're going to have in college football. What was it, 120 receiving yards?
Had 7 catches for 134 yards.
130 receiving, right. Tony Ellison had a nice catch and run towards the end of the game. Mm-hmm. That leads me to maybe, it's not a turning point in the game, but I think it was illustrative of the kind of day it was for Arizona. Tony Ellison, who I just wanted to call Sean Elliott, which is weird. Tony Ellison playing in the slot, catches a pass over the middle, rushes or runs it something, what, like 46 or 47 yards to Houston's 1. We're midway through the fourth quarter. Arizona's trailing by 22 points. Arizona has first and goal at the 1 yard line. And they go up the middle, up the middle, up the middle, up the middle. Don't get a yard. And in the meantime, by the way, run like almost 2 minutes off the clock, down by 22. I mean, A, you need to punch it in there, obviously.
Yeah.
B, if you're down 22 and you're trying to compete in this game, why are you running the football 4 times in a row? You know, and then they punt, what, 2 drives later with 5 minutes left, you know, from like their own 40 or something like that. To me, that showed me, A, that I think Houston was more motivated than Arizona was today. B, Houston was much bigger on the lines, thanks in part to Ed Oliver, who played great again.
Oh, man.
And
what a guy.
And C, I'm not sure Arizona knows where the ball's going in big moments.
Yeah.
You know, Khalil Tate, it looked like he called his own number on 3rd and 1. They had Gary Brightwell back there. They were out of the shotgun. Brightwell was to Khalil Tate's right. They snap it to Tate, and he kind of pushes Brightwell in front of him and then uses Brightwell as a blocker and gets nothing. Where does the ball go when Arizona needs a yard? I have no idea. Where does the ball go when Arizona is at the 1 yard line? I mean, Khalil Tate tries to call his own number. That didn't work. Arizona, I'm not sure, has a big physical running back, since Nathan Tilford's really not in their plans right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you do there.
Yeah, I heard he didn't even make the trip to Houston. I saw that on Twitter. I don't know if that's true or not, but it kind of shows that it could be true because, well, when J.J. Taylor and Gary Brightwell left the game, who was in there to replace them?
Bam?
Yeah, goes by Darius Smith, but they called him Bam,
Bam
once he got here.
Yeah,
so.
Bam Smith, and he's a good story. I mean, if you're looking for a maybe one thing to be a little tiny bit happy about in this is that Bam Smith had a good game. He's a true freshman from Houston playing in front of, I'm sure, his friends and family. But, you know, the smiles and good storylines were pretty hard to come by today. I mean, Arizona was really kind of demoralized from the beginning. The heat, it looked like really affected them early on. I mean, there was a lot of standing around, a lot of hands on hips early in the game. I mean, they said down on the field it was like 125 degrees.
Wow.
Which is hot.
And like a moist hot. Not a dry hot.
Yeah. I mean, I went – quick aside. I did a college baseball regional in College Station, 6 years ago, something like that. Arizona was playing there. And it was – they were playing Texas A&M and Baylor and somebody else. And because of lightning and rain delays, what was supposed to be like a 4-day trip turned into like a 9-day trip. Okay, is you'd go out, it's time to play baseball, skies open up, lightning, well, you can't play today, kind of a thing. Midway through my trip, I just started buying new clothes because the humidity was disgusting. The laundry situation was terrible. I mean, I left a pile of the clothes I brought just there in my hotel room when I left. the humidity is no joke, man. It's gross. Mm-hmm. And obviously Arizona wasn't ready for it. Arizona wasn't ready for Houston either.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw miscommunication, and I'm not going to go into X's and O's because I don't think I know enough to speak super eloquently about them. To me, it seemed like a lot of miscommunication between the DBs and the safeties.
Yeah.
Especially early on. I mean, it's 3 touchdowns and something like 15 plays early on. Deep strikes. And it could have been much worse. Justin, you and I were talking about this. The only thing stopping Houston in the first quarter was Houston.
Yeah.
And there were at least two 40-plus yard passes that just hit the receiver in the hands while he was running past an Arizona defender. Mm. So, it's back to the drawing board for Kevin Sumlin and for Arizona. I come away with this wondering, not how could we be so fooled necessarily, but how were they such a trendy pick to compete for the Pac-12 South?
Yeah.
If there were these giant holes on their offensive line, on their defense, what is the excuse for a defense that returns 9 starters? It's not, everybody's young. Everybody's young gets everybody fired. I know it's just 2 games, but I feel like this is not the team we thought they had.
Yeah, well, again, the headlines heading into the new season was, well, okay, Kevin Sumlin, he's the new coach. He was the guy that Arizona wanted to bring in all along, and we've seen his history with his previous quarterbacks. One of them, Case Keenum, who played at Houston. Look at what he did. Kevin Sumlin came in. They were talking about this on the ABC broadcast today. Case Keenum threw 14 touchdown passes the year before Kevin Sumlin came. And then as soon as Kevin Sumlin entered the scenario, Case Keenum put up 44 touchdowns the following year. And look at what he had with Johnny Manziel. So they looked at Khalil Tate and everything that he did last year and was like, okay, this is, we can see Arizona putting something together, because if U of A can somehow make a bowl game last year with Khalil Tate, mm-hmm. when they were originally predicted to finish last,
right.
What can Kevin Sumlin and his staff do, especially with a guy like Noel Mazzone? And I gotta say, Mazzone's play calling was kind of questionable for a little bit.
It was weird. It was weird. I mean, I still feel like the staff and their schemes are kind of in the feeling out stage, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know what they're trying to do at this point, but only because there's really a small sample size to judge them on. But a handful of times today, I mean, it seemed like they ran the ball right at Ed Oliver on big plays. You sit there and you go, he's the best defensive player in the country, arguably the number one pick in the upcoming draft. Isn't the name of the game to get away from him and not sort of bring the game to him? I thought that, Khalil Tate obviously was limited. In the first quarter, we alluded to this earlier, he kind of calls his own number on a sweep play to the left, goes down on a non-contact play, gets up and taps his helmet. And you've played enough football, Justin, to know that when you tap your helmet, that means?
Done. Get me out.
And he stayed in. It appeared ESPN and ABC said it was an ankle injury. He was getting his left ankle taped almost immediately after that drive. And he was severely limited, and they didn't call a whole lot of run plays for him after that. That said, he rallied a little bit in the second half.
Yeah.
I thought he looked more explosive in the second half. I thought he was able to extend plays with his feet. I mean, his rushing numbers are terrible. But you know what? He was able to extend plays. Mm-hmm. That's what a really good mobile quarterback will do.
Yeah.
A couple times he, kind of a rolling pocket situation where he'd throw downfield. That's good. I don't think he's as hurt as he looked in the first half. But again, you wonder about his durability. And durability, to quote Michael Lev, durability, that's an ability, right? I mean, you need to be durable. And, this is a guy who in very limited time, I mean, started last year with a shoulder injury, re-injures himself in the ASU game, was clearly limited in that game. Now we're talking about an ankle. I mean, the way he plays this game, can he stay upright and can he stay healthy? When he's healthy, he's great. But I mean, even today, I thought that he really struggled, in part because of that ankle in the first half.
Mm-hmm. And you could tell that the ankle was bothering him, because there was one play where it was 2nd and 12 or 2nd and 13, something like that. And Tate rolled out, and there was a wide open.
Yes.
He could have easily ran for maybe 16 yards. He could have possibly broke out for a big run, and he just threw it away. You know, he could have easily gotten a first down, but he just threw it away and wanted to get it back on the next play. And that's where I'm like, okay, Khalil Tate is definitely bothered. But like you said, Ryan, he started rolling out more towards the end of the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, started to look a little bit more comfortable. And I mean, but by that time, it was already too little too late. Arizona was making the comeback, and I was like, are they really about to make this comeback right now? Right. I mean, even let's just say they cut it to one possession somehow,
right,
and Houston ends up getting a couple first downs and holds them off for a little bit. But their performance in the second half showed a little bit of light for Arizona, because that game was starting to look like Washington State in 2016.
No question. No question. And that's one of the things that I guess, I mean, there are two sort of bright side things to take out of this game, I think.
Yeah.
I think in the second half especially, you got a glimpse of what Kevin Sumlin and Noel Mazzone's offense ideally will look like with Khalil Tate. I mean, there were more shots downfield, but I thought he had a good rhythm. I thought they were able to move the ball kind of at will. In the nice stretch, I mean, there's the three-possession stretch, late third, early fourth quarter, where they went field goal, touchdown, touchdown. Then they had the ball at the one, right? That's a good four-possession stretch. I thought that we saw a little bit more. Rhett Rodriguez. I know it doesn't matter. Rhett Rodriguez came in at the very end, and what was it, 4 of 5 for 40 yards?
Yeah.
4 of 5 for 40 yards. He's moving the ball. I think we saw a little bit more of what the offense could look like there. We're not going to learn a dang thing next week against Southern Utah. Arizona's going to play Southern Utah. I mean, if they lose, I guess we'll learn something. But, you know, I mean, this is one of those no-win kind of games.
Yeah.
If they score 100 points, you go, well, it's Southern Utah. If they only score 30, you go, oh, my God, it was, you know, it's only Southern Utah. So I think positive number one to take is Khalil Tate, and that offense looked a lot better in the second half. I think a second positive is this, and nobody's going to talk about this now. Do you know where Arizona sits in the Pac-12 standings right now?
Still chilling at 0-0.
Still chilling at 0-0. And if USC wins today, Arizona will be in a, what, five-way tie for last? And if USC loses today, they will be in a five-way tie for first. Non-conference football, I mean, certainly this does not portend good things for the rest of the season. If you can't beat Houston and BYU, what the hell are you going to do against UCLA or USC or ASU?
Yeah.
That said, they haven't lost a dang thing yet.
Yeah.
And that's, if I'm Kevin Sumlin today, that's the attitude. That is what I tell those players.
Absolutely.
Which is, you look terrible, right? You look terrible. It's embarrassing. That said, nobody has ever looked back at a season and gone, if they only won that September 8th game, they'd be the national champion.
Yeah.
Their season, they've got a big season and a nice season ahead of them in terms of scheduling. This is a team who I think, I mean, they don't have to play, what, Stanford? They don't have to play Washington. Their schedule is still kind of nice for them in Pac-12 play. They just have to figure out who they are and what they do between now and 2 weeks from now when they open up Pac-12 play against the Beaver.
Mm-hmm. We had a couple Arizona Wildcats fans reach out to us on Twitter.
Right.
Not only throughout the game, but afterwards. And, you know, during the game, someone commented on it saying, oh, my goodness, we suck again. Like the, was it the water boy?
The Rob Schneider.
We suck again.
Yeah.
I don't think that we should be sitting here pushing the panic button on the Kevin Sumlin era, because none of these players signed up for Kevin Sumlin.
And Kevin Sumlin didn't sign up for these players.
Exactly.
Right. I think the issue, here's the problem, right? The narrative is they hired Kevin Sumlin because he was the guy who could turn Khalil Tate into a Heisman Trophy candidate. They hired Kevin Sumlin because, frankly, Khalil Tate didn't want to run the triple option. You know how we know that? Khalil Tate tweeted it and then talked about it. They were putting a lot of pressure on Khalil Tate and on Kevin Sumlin to perform. And frankly, Khalil Tate and Kevin Sumlin have not performed through the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, of course, people are hitting the panic button. The one thing, I mean, if Arizona lost 56-54 today, you'd sit there and go, well, the offense is what we thought it would be, but, man, that defense is awful, right? The fact that they're doing it with Khalil Tate kind of not impressing people is what I think most fans are panicking about. Fans were promised, whether by the media or by Sumlin or by Arizona's own marketing department, they were promised a new era. And it's the same song and dance. And it might be worse. Rich Rodriguez lost a handful of non-conference games. I mean, like two. I think it was two.
Yeah.
Non-conference games in his career. Kevin Sumlin is 0-2. If I'm an Arizona fan, I'm panicking, and I'm probably wondering why Rich Rodriguez was fired for a guy who's now 0-2. I'm sure those feelings will change next week. I'm sure those feelings will change the second Kevin Sumlin lands another big commit from Texas.
Yeah.
But as of now, there's no hot seat, but it's uncomfortable for him, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Another one, a comment on the Wildcaster Twitter was, all podcasts from here on out should include the host sipping liquor and smoking weed. You know, that musky, stinking, smelling weed. It's like, no, we're not Joe Rogan and Elon Musk.
Not Joe Rogan. I don't want to be Joe Rogan. But I can't tell you, how many gifts did you see of somebody drinking today during that game?
Oh, man, a lot.
I saw ones of Kevin Sumlin drinking, which, like, you put his head on something else. And, you know, yeah, I get it. People are trying to be funny. I get it. But, you know, it's...
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but Steve Levy in the broadcast said, it's like, well, the way this game is looking, those beer sales at Arizona are going to go up. They're going to skyrocket next week.
That's hilarious.
That's serious. But anyways, continue.
No, that's fantastic. You know, I don't know. It's so funny. I don't want to say... I mean, I think that intelligent people can say, Arizona's 0-2 for the first time since 1981. And the coach who they've made the second highest paid man on campus is not what we thought he'd be yet.
Right? Yeah.
I think you can say that, but also say, on the other hand, well, what the hell does that mean? Nothing. They're 0-2.
Yep.
They're 0-2. Guess what? One of two things can happen every week. You either win or you lose. If they win next week and the week after that, people will stop panicking. If they lose to Southern Utah, there will be fires and rioting. I mean, you know, I think that you can say this is shocking, but it's also not a huge deal yet.
Yeah.
Washington State, when they got, what did Washington State put up, was it 69 on them?
69 points.
69 points on them. When Washington State puts up 69 points on you in a conference game, that's a big deal. That's a big old deal.
Yeah.
When you lose to Houston, it's ugly. It might be embarrassing if you're a diehard Arizona fan, but I think big picture doesn't mean a whole lot. Just like how they won today. Big picture, I'm not sure it'd mean a whole lot.
Absolutely. Well, the Arizona Wildcats start off their season 0-2. First time since 1981.
Yeah. Where were you in 1981?
I was negative 14 years old.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I would have been 14 months old, 1981. September 1981. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So a little baby Ryan and Patrick.
Yeah.
Going around.
Hanging around.
In San Diego. Man, that's great. They start off 0-2. Things not looking good for the Arizona Wildcats, but I agree with you, Ryan. Big picture-wise, like you said, depending on this USC-Stanford game, they're either going to be tied for first place or tied for last in the Pac-12 South.
Right. Not time to panic yet.
Not time. Anyways, well, that will do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Don't forget to download the free Wildcaster app on the App Store and Google Play for all of our Android users. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Ryan, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
Chico Smoke Shop, where you'll save up to 40% on all products with no city or state sales tax. Over 100 brands to choose inside the store or through the drive-thru. Open 7 days a week, where you'll save up to 40% every day at Chico Smoke Shop.